الله 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 الله.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. In the name of Allah, the generally beneficent, the exceptionally merciful. All praise is due to Allah, the Lord of the worlds, the most gracious, the most merciful. I testify that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah, and that Muhammad is not his son, but servant and messenger. May his peace and blessings be upon him, his households, and those who trail his path, till the end of time. Dearest listeners, verily the most truthful of words is the Book of Allah, and the best of guidance is the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the worst of issues is that which is newly introduced. As newly introduced issues will be termed innovation, and innovation leads to misguidance, and misguidance leads the doer to hellfire. May Allah save you and I from the doom of hell. Dearest listeners, last week we had a few questions, and then before we continue, we would quickly want to prefer solutions to these questions, inshallah al-kareem. The first of his question is that, is it allowed to say intentions before observing Salah? This is a very, very important question. One has to say Takbiratul Ihram, and then before you say Takbiratul Ihram, you say your intentions. Now, saying the intention does not mean vocalizing it, saying it in words. It means conceiving it. So with this, I would quickly go on to mention a few other innovations or mistakes that has to do with our salawat. So we don't have to raise up our hands, say a few words before you start to pray. When the moment you conceive it in your heart, you have said your intentions. That's the statement of the Prophet that says, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ. Every actions are judged with intentions. So every action precedes it, its intention. So what we're saying is that before you doing it, you had already preempted, you had already started it in your heart. إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ. You don't have to start saying it. Sometimes you ask people, once you observe in prayers, you tell you, oh, I don't know how to say the intentions. You don't have to say intentions. Every individual would come to doing things without vocalizing their intent. So but intentions are always stick to the heart. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows your heart. وَأَسِرُّ قَوْلَكُمْ أَوِجَهَرُوا بِهِ إِنَّهُ عَلِيمٌ بِذَاتِ الصُّدُورِ. You say your words or you keep it to your heart. Allah knows what that is in your heart. So another innovation that has to do with our salawat is not taking to tranquility before going to observing prayers. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, إِذَا أُقِيمَتِ الصَّلَاةِ فَلَا تَأْتُونَ وَأَنْتُمْ تَسَعُونَ. If the salat is established, don't come rushing into the salat. عَلَيْكُمُ السَّكِينَةَ وَالْوَقَارِ. It is upon you to be mild and gentle. Go to the salat with tranquility. Okay? مَا أَدْرَكْتُمْ فَصَلُّوا. Whatever you meet, you observe it. وَمَا فَاتَكُمْ فَأَتِمُّوا. And whatever you miss out of the prayers, you pay it up. So it's not ideal that you're rushing into the salawat. Also, rushing into the prayers without saying the initial takbir, without saying the takbiratul ihram, this also would mean the salat is not very healthy, okay? If you do not say takbiratul ihram, you have not started praying at all. But sometimes you don't stay erect before saying your takbir of ihram. Remember the hadith of Abu Bakr, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam corrected him from joining the prayers from the door. He entered the prayers and joined the prayers from the entrance of the masjid, and then he started crawling gradually, like some of us we do in our local masjid. You make your takbir from the entrance of the masjid and you go to the jama'ah, to the congregation, gradually taking your steps. This is not ideal. You go to where the salat, the jama'ah, the congregation ends, and then you make your intentions in your heart, and then you raise up your hands and say your takbir. So before going to join the imam in the position, maybe in the ruku' position or in the sujood position, you would have to say a takbirat al-ihram first, and then you go with the takbirat al-intiqal, the shift in takbirah. You say the initial takbirah, and then you go on to saying the other takbirah. Also, amongst the innovations that has to do with our prayers is that when we recite our fatiha, we shake our body. Some people will twist to the right and to the left when making prayers, and then saying غَيْرِ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا الضَّالِّينَ, and dancing to the right and to the left. This is not authentic. You don't have to shake to the right, neither would you need to shake to the left before you would say your Ameen. Okay, amongst the most clear of the opinions also is that you'd wait a little that Imam starts to say his Ameen before you say your own Ameen. So this is the most appropriate. May Allah forgive us and guide us in our worship, okay? And then also when you go on ruku', you don't go humping. Some people just go on the ruku' and then they start to bounce while on the ruku'. This is not good. And then also when you're on ruku', you go balanced. You don't have to stand like squatting. Well, you have to stand bending your back, erecting diagonally, and you don't have to be too hasty doing all of this. These and more are some mistakes that has to do with our salawat. Dearest listeners, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, "Ad-dunya sijnul mu'min wa jannatul kafir." The world is a prison for the believer, and it's like a paradise for the unbeliever. For the disbelievers, the world is just a free world. They get to do anything, do whatever they like. But a believer would always check himself, ask, "Oh, what does Allah want from me? Do I do this thing this way? Should I do it this way? Or should I not do it this way?" All of these things would mean that the world, it's only a cage center for a believer. It means he wouldn't have to do anything anyhow. He's got to do it the same way the Prophet ﷺ had done it, or he would do it as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded him to do it. The Prophet Muhammad ﷺ says, "Man ahabba dunyah darratuhu akhiratuh." Whoever seeks this world, whoever desires most this world, darratuhu akhiratuh, he would only lose his hereafter. He would be punished with his hereafter. وَمَنْ أَحَبَّ أَخِرَتَهُ, whoever loves his hereafter, ضَرَّتْهُ دُنْيَاهُ, then the world would certainly be shaking for him. Somehow you're getting to do everything because you're not too dubious. You fear God. You don't want to do things in an unlawful way. And then you're getting the difficulty much of your time. And then those that are not God conscious, they get to do things in the wrong way, and then they enjoy this world. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Amongst you are those who seek this world, and amongst you are those who seek the hereafter." So if you seek in this world, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Man kana yuridu harth al-akhirah, nazid lahu fi harthi." Whoever seeks the hereafter would increase for him his efforts, would aid him to be able to do well. But whoever seeks this world, نُؤْتِهِ مِنْهَا, would give unto him part of it. وَمَا لَهُ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنْ نَصِيبٍ, and he has no reward on the Day of Judgment. Dearest listeners, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is calling us to be mindful of him at all times. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, الدُّنْيَا دَارٌ مَنْ لَا دَارَ لَهُ. This world is a home for those who don't seek home in the hereafter. وَمَالٌ مَنْ لَا مَالَ لَهُ. It is a wealth for only those who seek no wealth in the hereafter. وله يجمع من لا عقل له. And then it would only gather for those who have no reflection. For the more you reflect on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, reflect on His laws, then the world becomes something so simple for you. The Prophet ﷺ says, الدنيا ملعونة, the world we live in is cursed. وملعون ما فيها, and everything inside of it is as well cursed. إلا ذكر الله, except the remembrance of Allah. وما والاه, and everything that covers it, everything that has to do with the remembrance of Allah. وعالما أو متعلما, a tutor and a student. All of these people will be saved from the curse of Allah if they channel their knowledge towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Dearest listeners, today inshallah, we would be talking about something that is drawing closer to us. In a few days, would start the Dhul-Hijjah, would start the first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created seasons and He removed exalted days from them. He has created months and then He removed some special months for worship. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah amongst those days to rejuvenate our worship, to revitalize our relationship, to fortify us in connection with Him. The worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not designated to a season, but it is only fortified in periods that Allah and His apostle have chosen as sacred. And amongst these sacred days is this first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us this day, the Asharatul Awwal, the first 10 days, min Dhul-Hijjah, and the first 10 days of in the month of Dhul-Hijjah, wa yawma Arafah wal Hajj. For during these first days is the Arafah day and the Hajj. It is not only to connect us with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is also to make up for our losses, and wa ta'wid ma fat, and then to make up for the things that we would have done in a better way. Scholars of faith would say, فَسَعِيدُ مَنْ اِغْتَنَمَ مَوَاسِمَ الشُّهُورِ, but a fruitful one is someone who takes significance of these sacred days of Dhul-Hijjah. Dearest listeners, scholars of faith have described الْعَشْرُ الْأَوَّلِ, this first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah, as days that we should not sleep at all. Sa'id bin Jabir used to say, لَا تُطْفِئُوا سَرْجَكُمْ لَيَالِيَ الْعَشْرِ, do not turn off your lights in these first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah. لَا تُطْفِئُوا سَرْجَكُمْ لَعَالِيَ الْعَشْرِ, do not turn off your lights in these first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah. What it means is that do not sleep too much. You wake up in the night. Okay, in a few days, Wallahu A'lam, would start the last 10 days, and the first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah, and then would strengthen ourselves, and then tie our wrapper so as much to observe worship in this first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah. Ibn Rajab, may Allah be pleased with him, says, جَعْلَ اللَّهُ مَوْسِمَ الْعَشْرِ مُشْتَرِكًا بَيْنَ السَّائِرِينَ وَالْقَاعِدِينَ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has merged those who are in the Hajj and those who are not in the Hajj. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has used these 10 days to bridge between them. So if you're not in the Hajj, you can gain so much reward at home, as much as someone in the Hajj, but not too exalted as he in the Hajj. As Shaykh Ibn Taymiyyah was asked, عَنْ أَشْرَةِ ذِلْحِجَّةِ, Shaykh Ibn Taymiyyah was asked about the first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah. Which one is greater, the first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah or the last 10 days of Ramadan? Forget not that in the last 10 days of Ramadan, we have Laylatul Qadr. And in this, the first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah, we have Arafah, and then we have the Hajj. We also have Yawm al-Nahr, the day we slaughter, we make our offerings to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Which of these days is superior? And then Shaykh Ibn Taymiyyah ajab, he answered, he said, Ayyam ashr Dhul-Hijjah afdal min ayyam ashr min Ramadan. The first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah is much more exalted instead of Allah than the days of the last 10 days of Ramadan. But وَالْلَيَالِ الْعَشْرِ الْأَوَاخِرِ مِنْ رَمَضَانِ أَفْضَلْ مِنْ لَيَالِ عَشْرِ ذِي الْحِجَّةِ. But the nights of Laylatul Qadr, the nights of Laylatul Qadr, the last nights of last 10 days of Ramadan is much more exalted than the nights of the first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. So brethren, the difference is in the days and the night. The noon of Dhul Hijjah is designated for worship. And also, as for the nights of Ramadan, the Laylatul Qadr, the last 10 days especially, is specialized with Laylatul Qadr. This is why scholars of faith used to say that the day of the first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah has the Arafah, and it has the offering and slaughtering of animals, and then the performing of Hajj, all in the days. So, and in the night, it would only be exalted in the last 10 days of Ramadan. Anas ibn Malik said, it is something that the righteous people of the past used to say, that أيام العشر بكل يوم ألف يوم. The first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah, a day is like 1,000 days. وَيَوْمَ عَرَفَ بِعَشْرَةِ أَلَافِ يَوْمِ. But the يَوْمَ عَرَفَ is like a 10,000 day. بِعَشْرَةِ أَلَافِ. Subhanallah. If you're able to worship Allah just on the Arafah day, it is as if you've worshipped Allah for 10,000 days. Al-Imam al-Awza'i, may Allah be pleased with him, said, بلغني أن العمل في اليوم من أيام العشر قدر غزوة يصام نهارها ويحرس ليالها. The days of worship and the first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah, it is equivalent to a person going on a battle for the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that in the same time he fasts and in the same time he observes prayers in the middle of the night in his last 10 days. The more you do this, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala records for you that you're striving in his cause. Dear listeners, why is it so exalted, these first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah? Foremost, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala swore with it. And Al-Azim, La Yuqsim Illa Bil-Azim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most exalted. He would not swear except with something that is most exalted. Allah ta'ala says, Wal-Fajr, Wal-Layalin Ashr. Allah swore with the dawn, the El Moon, Wal-Layalin Ashr, and the first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah, Layalin Ashr, would mean the day starting with the night. And that's what it means of the opinions of the righteous scholars. And secondly, it is amongst the days Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prescribed for us our worship, the glorification and his praises. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَيَذْكُرُ اسْمَ اللَّهِ فِي أَيَّامٍ مَعْلُومَاتٍ عَلَى مَا رَزَقَهُمْ مِنْ بَهِيمَةِ الْأَنْعَامِ. Allah ta'ala says, and they glorify Allah, to glorify the name of Allah in those days that have been sanctified on their camels, their cattle that we have sustained them with. So we today, we don't have cattle, we don't have camels. We have cars, we have motorbikes, we have everything. So in these, the first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah, we glorify Allah, we exalt Him, we chant His praises. And this is what we should do. Thirdly, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam testified for this day. The Prophet ﷺ said, أفضل أيام الدنيا أيام العشر. The most exalted days of the world is the first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. يعني العشرة الأول من ذي الحجة. The companions of the Prophet ﷺ said, ولا مثلهن في سبيل الله. If none of it could be compared in worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Prophet ﷺ said, ولا مثلهن في سبيل الله. Nothing is compared to it in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, except for someone who strives in the cause of Allah and dies in his efforts. Fourthly, brothers and sisters, these first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah, we shouldn't play there, because there's Yawm Arafah there. Also, the Hajj prescribed upon us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is also in these first 10 days. Also, وَفِيهِ يَوْمُ مَغْفِرَةٍ. In these days, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would suddenly forgive all of our sins. وَيَوْمَ الْعِدْقِ مِنَ النِّيرَانِ. And a day that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would remove people from the doom of hell. A day of emancipation. If there's nothing more in these first 10 days only for Arafah, it would be certainly enough for humankind. Also, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam talked about the offering of our animals on this day. And then the Prophet said, لَنَّهَا أَعَظَمُ الْأَيَّامِ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ. For this day is the most exalted day before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. يوم النحر, the day we slaughter, ثم يوم القر, and then the day we, the day after the offering, يعني, because people, الناس يقرون فيه بمنى بعد أن فرغوا من الطواف والنحر واستراحوا. So this is why it's called يوم القر. Also it is most exalted because there are all kinds of worship gathered in there that is not found in other months, in other days. Al-Imam Ibn Hajar says, the first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah is not compared to any day before it, because it is the best days that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has gathered worship for us. It has fasting, it has praying, and it has charity, it has hajj. But there are other things, and even especially, we can also make i'tikaf in these first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah. Only that this i'tikaf, it will be selective. If you choose to do it, then you make intentions for it, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would give it to you as you've done it. I'm your brother in faith, Abu Riyan Abdul Hamid Osman. For questions, advice, and inquiries, you could call the line 080-3045-4903. 080-3045-4903. Inshallah, till I come your way next week, we'll continue to talk about the beauties and the rewards for the first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah, and how exalted is the worship in there for those who would seek to go closer to Allah, to rejuvenate their worship, to reconnect themselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to make up for their losses, and Allah azza wa jalla would certainly reward them all. I say assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Allah, Allah, Allah. Allah, Allah, Allah. Allah, Allah, Allah.